You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I am Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. And while you are there, download our free mobile app. It's a great resource to keep in your pocket. Digital Bible, awesome online community to keep in contact with, all of our teachings. If you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications. We don't want to miss anything as we continue with our study. We're in the Gospel of Matthew now, and as I just shared a few minutes ago, I went back and I tallied all the time we've spent, really going back to earlier in the previous year. In the Gospel of Matthew, we're actually over 40 hours into the Gospel of Matthew. So yes, we are taking our time, and I think that's okay. I think it's important to really dig into the context of Scripture, and I hope that's what you feel like you're getting here, is to not only learn Scriptures to memorize, but to really immerse ourselves into what is going on while it's being written. Right? What, in this case, Matthew, who was an eyewitness of everything that Jesus did, is really trying to portray to the audience there. And I hope that that is, you know, coming through, because as I just shared prior to kicking off today's study and doing the intro, which, by the way, I had myself on mute there. It's my late entry into the music there. When I began to read the Bible in its proper context, right? And how do we do that? We look at who was the original author, who was the original audience, what was the historical narrative of everything going on, what did God want for that original audience to, you know, get from the teaching, from the words of Jesus, and then it's like from that we can begin to pull the revelation of what God wants for us there. So a lot of times I have been accused of saying, well, we've got to read it to how the original audience took it. People will automatically say, well, what are you trying to say, that Scripture is not for us? No, not the case at all. No, but by understanding its original intent, we can put it properly in our life. Because if we don't do that, really what we're doing is we're just kind of opening the Bible and we're cherry-picking scriptures, right? And then we're trying to, you know, pin the scripture on my problem, and that is not necessarily the best way to go about it, right? So we are in Matthew chapter 23, and we're continuing here. And what we are studying here at the moment, okay, is Jesus addressing the crowds and pointing out the flaws of the Pharisees. And if you're just getting into the middle of this conversation and seeing how Jesus is addressing, not only just addressing, but calling out what the Pharisees are doing and the flaws in their own approach to their earthly ministry. And what was their earthly ministry? They were supposed to lead God's people in what was true, what was right. Right? And Jesus kicks it off right away. He says, woe to you guys. Woe to you guys woe to you Pharisees who shut up the kingdom, who ignore the kingdom, and then you guide people away. It was their job to teach them in the things of God, but they didn't even recognize what was happening right in front of them. They didn't even recognize that the Messiah was standing right in front of them. So Jesus, what, calls them hypocrites and bad actors, right? But that's hypocrite means. It means bad actor. How are they being bad actors? Well, they were taking on the role of the priest, but they were guiding people away. They were even manipulating those who were most vulnerable. Jesus talks about how they treated widows, right? They used these long prayers to comfort widows, but not because they wanted to comfort them, but because they wanted big donations. Their hearts weren't right. They covered up their lack of knowledge with zeal, right? They went. They saw that Jesus was changing the minds and hearts of the crowds, and then they really got fired up. You know, they didn't really care, you know, about the walk of the people. And then Jesus starts showing up, and then what is being threatened? It's their own kingdom, their own ministry. Because what we see about these Pharisees is they were a lot about themselves. And yesterday, we point to how Jesus says, woe to you, basically, who make false promises and bad oaths, right? You try to make workarounds. They couldn't swear on God. That would be a violation of Exodus, where it says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. So they would do all these little tricks. They would swear by the gold of this and this by that. And what Jesus is trying to say is, if you make a promise to somebody, it's like you're making a promise to God. You don't see that. But they were really in it for themselves. False promises, being bad actors in every area, being manipulative. But we haven't really just read this through the lens of pointing at them, right? We're not just standing behind Jesus saying, yeah. We're using this as an example as to taking a look at our own lives, right? We're using this as an example as to you know, asking ourselves, are we trying to put up a false sense of righteousness? And we're going to get into this a little bit more today, because it's self-reflection is one of the most powerful things that we can do. And one of the things that I released at the beginning of this year at Sound of Heaven is that this is going to be a year of confrontation. Now, whether you're listening to this in 2024 or whether you're listening to this in 2084, God willing, I believe it is true for when you're listening to it, that it's so important that we confront the things that are holding us back. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, woe to you. But we have to read this in the right way. I want to just break down really quick that word woe. That word woe is the Greek word oue. And it is a rebuke in a sense, but is also an expression of grief. And we have to realize too, which we touched on a little bit yesterday, that, you know, even when people mistreat us, God loves those people just as much as he loves us. And Jesus's woe to them is not because he is enjoying punishing them. He's enjoying the tone that sounds like an Old Testament prophet basically saying, you keep doing this, you're going to be led to destruction. Because even the Old Testament prophets didn't take pleasure in that. And a good parent doesn't take pleasure in the punishment of their children. Jesus is expressing grief because it's in his heart, it's in the heart of God that all people are restored, even the ones that you and I don't like, even the ones that mistreat us. And if we realize that, sometimes we can be healed and take a different posture with those who may not deserve our love in a way. You may not deserve, but let's be honest, if we all got what we deserved, we'd all be in big trouble. But that's what grace is. Grace is when we get more than we deserve. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 23, continuing with the woes of the Pharisees. Jesus continues to warn the crowds. Let's read. We're going to be in Matthew 23, starting with verse 23. We're going to go 23 through 28 today. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you bad actors. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Okay, Jesus makes a joke there. Jesus is pointing out their legalism, okay? They were meticulous when it came to giving the tithe. A tithe means tenth, right? In the old covenant, it was an obligation for you to give a tenth as an offering, right? You give your first fruits to God. And they were so faithful there, but they ignored the most important matters. And we can go back to Matthew chapter 9 when Jesus addresses the Pharisees. He says, I want you to learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And there he is quoting the prophet Hosea, who spoke over Israel many years before Jesus. And he said, I desire mercy over sacrifice, knowledge of God over burnt offerings. They were bringing their offerings to the temple, but they weren't treating each other the way they should be treated, right? They were mistreating one another. And everything that they were doing was this outward expression. But what God is more concerned about is our heart. And God has actually been like this the whole way. They thought it was, hey, bring the offering to the temple and everything's okay. But if we go back to even Isaiah 58, when Israel is in exile and they're putting ashes on their head and they're fasting and they're crying out to God and they're saying, why, God, why? And God responds to them through the prophet Isaiah, and he says, this is the fast that I want you to do. I want you to loose the bonds of wickedness over people. I want you to feed the hungry. I want you to clothe the naked. I want you to go set the captives free. I want you to stop denying those who are in your midst. And what Jesus is pointing out here with this first part, because this is kind of a two-part teaching here, but they all come together, is that you bring your little offerings to the table, but you neglect the most important matters: law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. And I mean, think about it as a parent, right? Let's say one of my sons punches the other one in the face and then takes out the garbage. And I say, well, you know, the first one, he did take out the garbage. So, no. What's more important, that he takes out the garbage or that he doesn't hurt his brother? I mean, we look at that and we say that that's ridiculous. But I want you to put this in the context of what is going on. They have all these rules and all these regulations around how to operate in the temple and how to be righteous, but the lepers are being cast out. But they can't even stand that Jesus is sitting at the table with the tax collector. That they drag a woman out to be stoned. They have no mercy. They have no heart. And Scripture tells us that God desires mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment, Scripture says. I mean, imagine, and let me back up here, because he says, he gives what I think is a joke. And he says, you look to strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. He's referring to their kosher diet, right? You'll be so righteous as to make sure you don't swallow an insect, but you'll eat a whole camel. Basically saying you are focusing on the trivial things when really big things, really important things are really what need to be addressed. And he's teaching them a more excellent way, right? How you sacrifice doesn't matter to me, right? He summed up, right, the commandments into two commandments. The Pharisees took the Ten Commandments and made them 300 plus. They were going in the wrong direction. Jesus breaks it down to two commandments that fulfill everything. Love God, love people. And we can get so caught up in our religiosity, right? Everything's all right. I went to church on Sunday. All right. Well, what'd you do Monday through Saturday? I mean, if we're just real with ourselves, it's not just about looking good and going to church. It's not about the appearance of righteousness. God doesn't want the superficial. He wants you to be changed from the inside out. And even in the most trivial parts of our life, I mean, we do these type of things, right? We fill our schedules a lot of times with meaningless things when we have like real deal situations that we have to deal with. You know, we yell about, you know, using too much electricity in the house. You left the light on again, but you avoid the check engine light. I could come up with a million different things that really are not even close to as important as what we're talking about here with the Pharisees. But we have a tendency to try to justify ourselves with the little stuff and not address the big stuff. And I want to encourage you this year, this next season of your life, be willing to confront what's on the inside. Let's continue reading, because Jesus really goes all in on the Pharisees here about this, about, again, the appearance of something righteous, but being kind of rotten on the inside, right? Because eventually what's on the inside comes on the outside. And if we go back, when we remember the tree, right? The fig tree. I keep going back to the fig tree, right? It was all leaves and no fruit. From a distance, it looked good, but when you walk up to it, it wasn't producing what God wanted the tree to produce. I don't know about you. I'm tired of there being areas of my life where I'm not producing everything that God wants me to produce, where I'm trying to put up these kind of false senses of everything's okay. Sometimes things are not okay, and that's okay. God, who is a gentle God, and we're going to be talking about gentleness this Sunday at Sound of Heaven, is willing to help change you from the inside out. Look how he calls out the Pharisees here as we kind of take this last part and close out. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." He's talking about the cleansing ceremonies that they would go through and how they would clean the outside of the cup. He says, "You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then go outside, and then the outside will be clean." Right? He's talking about a superficial cleansing where it looks good on the outside, but it's dirty on the inside. And I think a lot of our pain, even some of those pain that we don't show people, can be because we put up these masks of everything's okay, and we know that there's things that need to change on the inside. Well, get yourself around people that'll help you change on the inside. Most importantly, seek out God, and God is willing to help you change from the inside. Just because he's rebuking the Pharisees in what seems to be a harsh way doesn't mean that he does not love these Pharisees. He proved that very well when he was on the cross with his hands extended, nails in his wrists. And what did he say? "Get him, God." No. "Get him, Father." No. He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And he goes all in again. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law," verse 27, "and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." During the time of Passover, especially, what they would do is they would go to the headstones and the tombs, and then would put a fresh paint over it. And they would do this for a couple of reasons. So there would be an appearance of cleanliness, but also so that nobody would bump into it. And then, because if you bumped into a tomb, it was thought that you were unclean, and then you couldn't go through all the necessary ceremonies. So Jesus equates the Pharisees to those, the whitewashed tombs, the pearly, shiny, looking good, but inside there's nothing but dead bones. Pretty on the outside, dead on the inside. And Jesus is calling that out too, because God just doesn't want us to have the outward appearance of somebody who's got it all together. God wants you healed from the inside out. And this is not a condemnation to you or to me. I don't want you listening to this and feeling overwhelmed about your situation. I want you listening to this encouraged that God wants you alive on the inside. Jesus said, I come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. God wants to change you drastically from the inside out. And the Pharisees, after getting many, many opportunities, are now getting kind of called out on it. And we're witnessing that in Scripture. And it was a necessary thing that's going to lead us up to the next chapter, which will be the Olivet Discourse. Tomorrow, we're going to study how Jesus now turns to what they've done all along with the messengers that God has sent them. And we'll address that tomorrow. But as I wrap up here, I just want to encourage you in your heart that if it's not okay on the inside, that's okay. That we have a God that says, woe, and woe not in a sense of I want to punish you, I want to harm you, but woe is almost like an expression of grief because he wants you whole. He wants you made whole on the inside. He doesn't want you to just walk around with appearances because, quite honestly, it's exhausting. I've been there and I've done that, walking around trying to pretend like everything's okay. And it's not. God is not condemning you. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You are in no way condemned. You are positioned to partake of everything that God has for you, and everything that God has for you is the forgiveness of your sins. Everything that God has for you is the healing and deliverance of your hurt heart. And that's a process. And God is willing to walk with you through that process. Amen? I hope that blessed you today. Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we read in how Jesus, you are addressing these Pharisees, we know that even what comes across as harsh was necessary. Sometimes we need a good kind of jarring, but everything that you do is done in love, right? Love, mercy, justice. You are just and you are wonderful and you are loving. Father, I just pray over every single person that's within the sound of my voice that they would close their eyes at this moment, that they would feel your healing love come over them and the realization of they don't have to put up these superficial presentations of themselves, that it's okay to sometimes not be okay because you can make everything okay just wherever you are right now. Just say, Jesus, I trust you. Say, Jesus, help me to heal from the inside out. Say, Jesus, help the real me, the one that you made, show and walk with me in my journey. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church. You're listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together and 100 starts with one. We start our day this way, then we go out and do something amazing for Christ's sakes. Go out there with the knowledge that God loves you and wants you whole from the inside out. We'll talk to you tomorrow as we continue through Matthew chapter 20. Love you guys.